Hey everybody, welcome to this week's episode of the Liberty Squadron Podcast. We have our points episode part two. We're going to pick up where we left off. I am Andrew Lewinsky, and this week I am joined with Marshall Staggs.
Hey everybody.
Zach Cordy.
There it is. There's the new one.
And hey, Chris Apple.
Hello.
Jonathan's not with us this week. He will be listening in. So,
hang out with his kids or something.
Yeah, it's like he's got these kids and
who has families?
They're like
these days.
Parasites and.
But we're recording on. I can see the sun out of my office window. We're recording during the day, so everything is going to be weird.
It's a special.
Jonathan confirmed the vampire.
That's why Jonathan. Super,
Super Luke Super Bowl episode, but. Anyway, so we left off right before we hit the Resistance. I'm going to pass it over to Marshall because he likes to play a lot of Poe Ray for some reason and has probably looked a lot into this faction.
So I think similar to First Order, there was not a lot that was changed. And there wasn't a lot that was changed ship-wise, but there are a few things that affect Resistance ships pretty seriously. The most prominent of which I think is the increase in trajectory simulator, and how it seems like they decided to balance that out by slightly decreasing the points cost of all the star fortresses. Finch went down by 4, Eden went down by 3, a couple other ones went down by 4 or 5. So they've all gotten decreases, I think, to compensate for the fact that trajectory simulator is 10 points now. I don't think this puts them in a different place than before the points change. There are going to be a few more points, but I think if you're going to run a bomber, you're just kind of committed to running a bomber. I think if you want trajectory simulator on it, if you're using those bombs, I think it still makes sense to pay for it, but I think now that the points have gone down, it's also worth looking at bombers that just don't have it and maybe, using them more as jousters, and then, you know, they have enough hit points to tank a few shots during the joust. And then you fly by and then you start throwing your bombs out.
Here's an interesting argument I've been hearing was before the points came out, people were starting to argue that the bombers were too many points. Like, they should have got point decrease. So at first glance at it, they did get the points decrease that, you know, people were asking for. But in retrospect, is like the trajectory simulator increase and the ablative plating increase like counterintuitive to that decrease? Like, I mean, it's almost like there are more points now because you have to kind of equip them with all this stuff, but it made them more expensive in the long run.
Right, that's what I mean. So I think they're trying to incentivize you to not take trajectory simulator, which is an interesting choice. And I don't think it's necessarily a wrong one. Like, to not have trajectory simulator and just use prox mines or, you shouldn't use Cononets. Don't use Cononets, but prox mines or just use Finch without trajectory simulator, which he like kind of doesn't need anyway. I think that's if I were looking at building a list with bomb, like especially more than one bomber, I think that I would not be looking at trajectory simulator.
So like a list with two bombers seems pretty unlikely. One thing that kind of strikes me with this is we never really got to see anyone try to solve that kind of puzzle before the point change dropped. They weren't run at all in the one hyperspace tournament that we got, you know, one major hyperspace tournament. So I think you're still going to see a trajectory sim Finch that might show up in a list, but popularity wise, I can't imagine people deferring to the bomber over some of the other aces. So maybe it'll just never get discovered because of that, you know?
Yeah, I think that even with the reduction, I think for the price of a bomber, you can get Lulo and probably something else. So yeah, I haven't looked at those results in depth, but I'm sure that the Resistance Bomber was not a you know, a big presence at that tournament. And I think that's just because of the fact that, I don't know, I'm sure there were proton torpedoes all over that tournament. And there were things like Juke Phantoms that just didn't really have to worry about bombs so much. They could just kind of get picked up and put anywhere on the table that they want.
I think there were one or two bombers total.
Okay.
But on the question of them being used as just sort of more direct jousters, mm-hmm. Resistance definitely has a bunch of crew that's good for mods. So
that's true. Yeah. You can put Rose on it if you want to. I'm trying to think of what else you would. Let me open up Yasby really quick.
It's not the kind of thing that, like, I still kind of have a placeholder in my kind of Resistance meta breakdown mm-hmm. for a Star Fortress list. Just in case, but like it's just probably going to take longer to develop with how good Tripsilon is in hyperspace. It's not the worst idea to have a really tanky thing.
Right.
That takes up space.
Yeah.
And also, you know, bombs are pretty useful against big base things that can't move a lot that reinforce. Mm-hmm. So Finch actually, like, if Finch rolls up, puts trajectory into both of the Upsilons and then smashes in and drops the two page bombs. I could see that actually being semi workable against the Trip Upsilon list. Now, of course, Finch is going to die.
Yeah, I was just about to say that's 90 points of your list that you're using to maybe take a few shields off each of the Upsilons.
Depending on what else you fit, right? Because you'd have Poe and another T-70 getting behind at that point.
Yeah.
But it's, again, I'm just sort of throwing that out there as like, I think I agree with you that they're not, you know, they're not going to be meta defining for Resistance.
Right.
There might be an edge case build.
Yeah, I think you just don't want to start getting them up into 80, 85, 90 points. I mean, I've only messed around with it a couple times, like doing Finch, Poe, and Lulo, but it, like, they're annoying on the board, but they kind of just don't do anything other than take up space, and a good opponent's not going to let you bomb them in the way that you want to be bombing people. So it's, yeah, maybe they just need, maybe there's crew that they need, or there's something down the line that'll kind of make them more interesting. But
I'm curious to see, because I think people are shying away from it, but I mean, they might have a staple in hyperspace in general just because of the limited pool of ships. But I'm curious to see what people actually do with these things.
Yeah, and there's, like, to Marshall's point about the crew, Resistance has ridiculously strong crew in general. So if there's any faction that could find an answer to a ship that looks below par with upgrades, I don't know, it feels like there may be a way to do that. The trouble is, you know, they're not cheap. It really, for me, it gets back to the vast majority of the player base is just going to want to run A-wings and zoom all over the board.
Yeah.
Which I think is the correct choice, I think. I mean, at least, yeah. So I don't know if you, Chris, you've had any, if you've run it yet or if you've seen games with it, but Poe, is Pony on Lulo like a real thing?
Well, it's really popular. The one that I've played against more is Poe, Bastion, Lulo, and Taliesin.
Okay.
So like after the first couple weeks of people messing with Resistance, that's the thing that variants on that started showing up.
Mm-hmm.
Which I don't know what your opinions on it are, but like the other major impact from the points change to Resistance is the Proton Torp increase. We can get into like BB-8 and Primed in a little bit, but mm-hmm. but like the Proton Torp increase really changes, I think, the way that you approach it, because getting those double torps is not as easy. You can still do it.
Yeah. It makes me kind of take another look at Heavy Laser Cannon, even though Heavy Laser Cannon is like not great. I think it's better on Poe than it is on the other T-70 pilots just because it's a lot easier to line up the bullseye. And it might be worth taking another look because there's Upsilons all over the place, and having those extra dice is going to do you a lot of favors, especially if you want to keep your S-foils closed so you can barrel roll out of arc and stuff.
How good does Black 1 feel right now against Tripsilon?
Oh my god. I'm into it. I'm very on board for it.
And you can just staple a jamming beam on if you don't want to take HLC.
Like, oh yeah, we talked about that last time. Yeah, just throw jamming beam on all of them. I don't know. I feel like that's probably what Bistain wants. Just like S-foils and jamming beam and you're done. Maybe BB-8, because since your initiative is so low that it's might as well be free, or the other BB. But yeah, I think that is where I think that's where we should be looking as far as resistance goes. I think we should be looking like away from the Star Fortress, probably away from the Falcon, because it wasn't really impacted by the points changes, and I don't think it was that great to begin with. Like, I don't think I'm gonna be flying Rey anymore.
I mean, well, is Rey the right choice there? Like, I mean
Han. So Han is 4 points cheaper than Rey. Han is 76, and you can throw Rey Gunner on him if you want to. But that, I don't know what else you really do with that. Maybe trick. Engine got cheaper. Engine upgrade did get cheaper, so that's something to think about. Like, you probably don't need the title anymore. Not that you should have. I don't think you should have been using the title to begin with, but I found that out the hard way. Like, it's kind of a waste of points. Like, the sloop is not.
It's not Kanan slooping.
It's not as good as you want it to be, unfortunately.
Which is maybe a good thing, right? Because you don't want a hyper jousty,
right?
YT, but as far as like Han versus Rey, I feel like Han is, you know, sort of where I would lean. And now the more I've looked at list building, Rey also has a bunch of force charges. So if it's light enough, buying a super light Rey. Maybe something shows up that way.
Yeah. Or you can do Han Solo with Trick Shot, Rey Gunner, and Engine Upgrade, and that's 99 points.
Right.
That's nice. That seems okay against, like, at now we should actually be looking at Han Solo's ability because of Upsilons. So maybe you take Han in a healthy bid and you can avoid hyperspace tracking or whatever. But I mean, we were talking about that during that Vassal game, like, is Boba Crew good now? Is Tobias Beckett good? Like, stuff that can mess with asteroids and kind of futz around with what Upsilons are doing in the deployment.
If they didn't have collision detector, yeah, Tobias is
good. Oh yeah, they all have collision detector.
But so like Han though, I think I'm with you there on that build for Han.
I have one hot take for Han for Upsilons.
Yeah, go for it.
Han with inertial dampeners is pretty hilarious against Upsilons.
It's only a point. Yeah, throw it on there. You got 100 point Han.
Yeah, like you said, that plus a bid, you can outposition them and then totally see what they do. Snoke doesn't do anything since you can decide to trip dampeners.
Okay.
It leaves you options, which is kind of what it seems you need against Trip Upsilon.
I'm having like a hard time envisioning why, though. Like, so Trip Upsilons are doing, they're showing up in your face, and then what is the inertial dampeners exactly doing? Like,
you deploy to behind them, and then you can.
Oh, right. Yeah. We're talking about the resistance on. Okay.
Yeah.
Not infinite stop Rebel Han. Gotcha. Just a separate thing. Which is also good, but different
problem. Yeah. That would deploy behind them, see what they do, and then you can either do your dialed in maneuver, or, you know, if they snoked you and blocked you. Or, like, even if they bumped into you, then your inertial dampeners, and at least you're taking one less Upsilon shot. Like, there's only so many things that like that they can change with Snoke if they even go that route.
So what's interesting, though, right, is when you look at resistance versus that, and it also it kind of bothers me that so much of the conversation now about hyperspace is just in terms of how to deal with Tripsilon.
Yeah, but, it's, we're approaching like Dangaroo territory. Not that it's like as abusive as Dangaroo, but it's the meta is kind of warping around it in a way that's really frustrating.
I've never played against Dangaroo, so I don't know. But like, A-Wings, I guess where I'm going with this is that A-Wings are also sort of just naturally good at dealing with them. Because once you get the rear arcs going, they get really sad.
Yeah, I can see that.
And they're fast enough that they can kind of find some, they can't really find the escape routes, but it's solid. Mm-hmm. But if you take just Poe, if you just take like a three ship ace resistance list against that, you're in for some trouble. Yeah. Because you're going to lose one of your three ships. And, I think it's going to be a really popular thing is people are going to want to run, you know, Poe and then Nin and Lulo. Mm-hmm. And that'll be a fun build, but not very effective against Tripsilon in general.
Yeah, especially without proton torpedoes. Like, it's just going to take too long to kill one of them. And then you're not going to be able to get all your guns on the same one every turn because they're going to be in your face, hard stopping and slamming into you with advanced sensors or whatever. And it's
rough. Yeah. So on the A-Wings, trick shot went up one.
Yeah. I think is negligible for how cheap the A-Wings are.
Yeah. So, cause like people,
tell me I'm wrong, but
I don't really know what's correct here. I just, before people were taking trick shot and crack shot, like that's what most people had settled into.
Right.
Versus heroic or whatever.
No heroic, just stop. Like, I tried it. It's bad. Like, I was one of those people who was like, oh, it can't be that mathematically bad. And I think over the course of a couple games, it like never triggered. And I just found that incredibly frustrating.
But with trick shot now at two, do you consider just taking trick shot and that's it? But that's your EPT covered?
I think if you're not worried about a bid, you take crack shot. You could do, I kind of like Composure. I'm like a big proponent of that card. I think Trick Shot and Composure which
went down 1 point, right?
Kind of Composure. Yeah. So Lulo with Trick Shot and Composure is 41 points, which seems okay. Like if you like evade and then try for the boost, I don't know. My point is, for 1 point, Composure is certainly better than heroic.
For the record, Composure wouldn't trigger in that case you just listed.
If you fail a boost,
because you already have a green token. If you did,
Shit, that's right. Yeah. So maybe you target lock or something. I don't know. Or maybe you boost first. And then if you fail a boost, you can't attempt another boost, right?
So are you just describing, like, yeah, just to get into it, right? Like with Lulo, can you, I forget the order on this, but if you target lock into a boost,
yeah,
that fails, you take the stress,
and then you can't, do Composure.
Yep. You can't do Composure, right?
No,
you cannot.
Right,
you're already stressed.
Right.
Perform a focus action. Yeah.
Okay, so that's helpful.
It's better than heroic, though. I mean, if we're restricting ourselves to like cheap, I don't know. If you have a point, I think you can throw crack shot on. If you don't like crack shot for some reason, then like Composure is probably worth taking a look at. I would just not bother with heroic. Unless you absolutely do not care about a bid and you absolutely must have an EPT that's not Composure or crack shot. Like,
but everyone's dice tell me they always roll blanks.
Yeah, I know.
It's nice to not have to worry about it.
I sure would have liked to have heroic, but yeah, it is nice to not have to worry about it.
I think what this proves is that Marshall's dice are weighted.
He
never rolls all blanks.
I don't know, they were vassal dice. I got no control over that.
He uses his phone. He uses the app.
So, the worst kind of people.
I'm going to do it, Zach. One of these days, I'm going to roll up to a tournament you're running, and I'm going to use the dice app, and you're going to have to let me do it.
I won't have to. It's not an official tournament.
I think that's...
this is Zach's rules.
Man, that's mean-spirited. So the last thing I have on the A-Wings, if you're not, if it feels like maybe just making them as cheap as possible and bidding for Poe is going to eventually become correct. Like,
yeah, I think
Poe really enjoys having a bid, especially if you're running HLC.
Yeah, I think that's the move. I think that's what you do. Because otherwise you just have a bunch of stuff that's not really doing anything, and it's even like at that point, it's not about points. It's just about like, I don't know. I try to like keep my lists as simple as possible, and having a bunch of cards that I have to like check triggers for and like think about the order in which I'm going to do stuff. I think it just kind of slows you down if you're wasting a bunch of time thinking about a bunch of stuff that is in the end not going to be very effective.
So on the janky side of things, the BB units got really cheap for the low init T-70s.
Right.
Which is, I know it's not meta, but running a bunch of those with BB sounds fun.
Yeah, I wonder. So people have been talking about the 4 T-70 list. That's like, it's like, I guess it's 4 rookies with BB and like jamming beam. Can you make one of them, Jess? Was that the thing that we figured out or that other people figured out? So you can take 3 T-70s with BB, astromech, jamming beam, S-foils, and Jess Pava is 50. Yeah, so you can do Jess and 3 Blue Squadron rookies.
That sounds like fun.
Seems like a thing, yeah. Can you get BB on all of them? Yeah, you can get BB on all of them. You can get jamming beam on all of them, and you're at 196 points. That seems fun.
You can even make one of them Bastion.
Oh, can you?
Yeah, so you can do Pava, Bastion, and then 2 blues, which...
Oh, yeah. All right. Maybe
Pava, Bastion, and something else for the next, you know, whatever remains there is pretty solid.
Yeah, for... Oh geez, math. 93 points, 96 points. What is it?
Yeah, you get 95 left.
95. Over, but, yeah, 95.
Okay. For listeners who aren't aware, because we talked about Bastion a couple times, Bastion essentially lets you acquire a lock after damage is dealt.
Time out. All right. So I just had some fun with the dice app, and I just rolled 2 green dice 100 times. And rolled blanks 9 times out of 100.
That sounds about right.
So Chris Allen ran it something like 100 billion times. I forget what the total count was. He has like all the accuracy on it. It's really funny. Yeah. Does anyone locally use the dice app? Has anyone?
No.
There's one person on Thursday nights at Top Deck that just was using it this last week.
He was using it on like a tablet too. It was great.
It's not great.
Oh, I saw. Yeah, I've seen. I think I know who you're talking about. I think I saw him at a tournament using it once.
No, different person.
Oh, different person.
I know John Bailey lost all of his dice once on how to use it. It was pretty funny at PAX last year. It's like, hold on, I got to pull out my app.
That's great.
Sorry to interrupt. What were we talking about?
No,
that's pretty funny. No, thanks for
interrupting. I think it's important to demonstrate that heroic is like.
So one out of 10 times, you're. On green dice, like just under that, you're going to trigger heroic, and it's probably going to be even less on red dice. So,
right.
Well, so heroic still kind of makes sense on T-70s, right? Like I'm totally fine with it there. It's just on A-Wings where you're kind of, if you take it on an A-Wing, you're taking it for over the course of 3 games, not for 1 game.
Right.
So it'll trigger once over 3 games, and it's like, maybe it was worth it. With the T-70s, it's a little bit, you know, more, it feels a little better on there because you got the two green dice, right?
Yeah.
Until you have it trigger perfectly against that trip upsilon list and you go from 3 blanks to 3 evades and then you decide to always keep it there.
so it's a joke, but can we talk for a second about how awesome T-70s are? Like all of them? Because
they're great.
The stat line is amazing to begin with.
Yeah. I have not had nearly enough time to like put them all on the table and see what they do.
But you get like amazing like, pilot abilities across every init level. And it's just, yeah, it's so perfect.
Yeah. What is, yep. Wexley is still the same. He's still really good. Jess, I think is still good. I think I'm surprised we're not, I guess it hasn't been that we haven't had many opportunities to see her, but I'm surprised that we're not seeing her more.
I think people are scared of her with that charge. Like in the conversation.
Yeah, she does just have the one charge.
But. Which it's still a good ability, but it's kind of like, I think people are just shying away from it.
Yeah.
Which, I mean, BB went down, right? So it's only 3 points on Pava, right?
Yeah.
And non-recurring to get the two charges. What has the most charges? Everything's only two, right?
Yeah, it looks like everything's two.
I think Pava and Bastion is worthy of experimentation to see what else fits with that 95.
Yeah.
It's crazy how much like just mods in general it feels like you can get from resistance. And it's not related to the point adjustment, of course. But it's just such a solid faction. Like I feel like anytime I'm building a list I get the initiative that I want. I get all the HP that I want. I get the mods, and I don't give up mobility, right? Like the T-70s are very mobile. Poe is, of course, mobile. And then you just add Black One to the mix. Like they do basically everything okay, and that's maybe that's what Resistance was supposed to be, because they don't have that many ships, right?
Right.
They kind of have to be solid.
Yeah,
and not my X-wing.
I mean, it's the difference between a T-65 and a T-70. I don't have, you know, really kind of specific thoughts on it yet, but like experimenting with Rebels versus Resistance, that extra shield makes such a big difference.
Oh yeah.
It really does. And it's, you know, the boost versus the barrel roll, I think boost is definitely the better of the two, right? Mm-hmm. And to have that kind of built directly in and not have to think about your foils to use it is nice.
Yeah. Let's look into the Rebels. Zach, can we kick it? Or again,
Andrew, sorry. Just sorry to interrupt there. But before we jump over, I think we only really talked about Resistance in terms of hyperspace. Any hot takes on Resistance and Extended?
I think it's...
Could be too early, but like,
I don't know what Resistance has to worry about in Extended that they don't have to worry about in hyperspace. I mean, that might be a thing that could be like a whole episode, is like what you should be thinking about list building, like hyperspace versus Extended. But I feel like in Extended, like you kind of need Poe. I might be wrong about that, but I think you kind of build your list around Poe.
Right. And I think the other thing about Extended is that meta right now is extremely like shaky. Like people are starting to figure it out, but I think there could be something like this dark horse in Resistance that completely obliterates whatever turns out to be the top meta list in Extended. It's going to be hard to say because it could swing either way. And the same with First Order. I mean, First Order seems really strong with the trip upsilon doing so well,
but that's the only thing that's doing
well, right?
It's not like they have a lot of interesting, like, I mean, we've talked about it, they have one ship at least that's basically dead on arrival, right? And like, I don't know how good the regular TIE FO is, but I mean, there's a handful of good pilots, but you're not like, Null is out, so is Omega Leader good?
Like,
I don't know.
Well, First Order is a whole other topic, but I think I would agree with, I think there are a decent number of good First Order builds for hyperspace for sure, besides Tripsilon.
Right.
But within Extended, Resistance feels immediately, like just looking ahead is hard, but Resistance feels better equipped to handle Extended than First Order does.
Yeah.
Unless kind of Super Kylo is able to handle wherever we end up. Mm-hmm. But it's maybe too early to try to figure this out. It's just I don't know that I would take resistance to Toronto open as an example.
I might shy away from that. Yeah, I wouldn't either, I don't think.
Right. Like I said, like just going to my point earlier, I think it's one of those things that you have to let everything else shake out and then see if this can fit in. Like, yeah. I don't think this is
fair.
Not really. It doesn't not deserve testing, but I think they're the very limited pool that you have here. It's kind of like you almost know what you're going to have to work with, where it could just completely obliterate if something big comes out of that, everything else.
Yeah. I guess what I meant is, like, with resistance, it's very easy to identify, like, which pieces are good. And with First Order, like, I'm just not sure. But maybe that's just because I haven't taken a very hard look at First Order. So that might just be me. But I think resistance is, I think they're in the conversation, but I think that's mostly because of Poe.
Sure. Cool. Now, do we want to move on to Rebels? All right, Zach, kick it off.
All right, Rebels. So the Rebels had a great point deduction section. Like, it was very, very nice to them. I think a good place to start off with is their former frontrunner, Luke. So with Supernatural going, like, way, way, way up, that obviously affects Supernatural Luke, who, in my opinion, is probably still the best pilot in the current landscape to take Supernatural, since he's one of the cheapest.
It's that or Kylo, right? I think Kylo's still, because of his ship ability, likes it a little more, but Super Luke doesn't feel dead to me. I agree with you.
Yeah, I mean, for me, I don't know. I personally shy away from Supernatural on Kylo now just because it's super expensive and I hate that. But that's more personal feeling than probably any sentiment on it being good or bad.
Yeah.
But I think, go ahead, sorry.
Yeah, I think like Luke with Supernatural in the 80s feels right.
So why do you think that? Like, because I think I'm on the opposite end. I think I'd rather maybe pair Luke something with something else than burn those points on him. Like, I'm not saying that Luke himself is out of the game, but I'm saying maybe Super Luke, because you're sitting at 92 points with Luke, Afterburners and Supernatural. So that's 86 before that. Like, I think, is he that end game, super end game piece that you could have?
So yeah, my argument would be this, Andrew, which is like, you now, because of the increase to point cost in Supernatural, it's harder to take proton torps, do the boost, right, with the foils closed, 4K, and catch a torp anyways, right?
Right.
Like, that was really, really powerful. It's harder to do that now. But the point of comparison that I would make is between Super Luke as your 200-point ace and kind of regen Han as your 200-point ace. For me, I don't know that that's a finished conversation, right? As we see the meta evolve in hyperspace. Mm-hmm. Personally, like, my playstyle, I'm more comfortable taking Super Luke to the end game to finish a game than I am Han, because I can hold him out of danger more easily throughout the entire phase, early, mid, end. Which is sort of where I'm coming at this from for Super Burner Luke.
Right. And like, that might be like a playstyle. Like, I mean, I don't know, like,
Han, I prefer him to Han.
Right. That's no. Yeah. In the end game. Absolutely. But I think that, like, something with Han, like, he's there to strafe and burn. Like, he just kind of, he probably shouldn't be a ship that's going to time. Like, he should be something that's like, I'm going to destroy your entire list and this is how I'm going to do it.
Where, are you sure about that? Like,
I'm not, I will be honest. Like, I mean, but that's how I would see it a little bit more. Like, I don't know if I'm ever running away with, like, getting up on points and running away with Han, because the second way he can, you know, someone catches him, then he's, with that one agility ship, then he's, you know, getting burnt down. So, like, that's maybe my perspective of it, where with Luke, I could actually see that.
But I think that just highlights this. Like, Super Luke, Super Burner Luke is pretty much the only real arc dodging ace that Rebels have.
Sure.
Or the closest thing they have.
Oh, yeah.
Right. And talking a little bit about Han, since I think it's kind of been introduced here.
Yep.
Han gets really powerful in the end game, running away when fewer ships are on the table.
Sure.
It's right? Yeah. So like early game, that one agility feels really dangerous, but we'll get into it a little later. I'm sure Zach will have some things to say about B-Wings, and we're going to talk about U-Wings.
Oh, yeah.
but it's not impossible to like put Han in spaces that get him to the end game.
Well,
I don't know what correct looks like for that yet. Go ahead, Zach.
And yeah, I think there's been so many other things that kind of help out Han now. Like, we're going to talk about it later, but like going into it now, like Lando going down to 2 points.
Mm-hmm.
It's like Lando plus title. I think Marshall, you were the one that brought this up in our group chat about like Lando and the title is like made for each other because it actually gives your opponent pause and just auto assigning you that evade.
Right. Yeah.
Like, because it, you know, I messed around with like Lando on fun nights before the point deduction, and like the sentiment on my opponents was always if I rolled blanks to give me the evade.
Right.
And with the title, that's less appealing because you're giving me, you know, 2 shots, 3 shots at rolling a natural evade if I'm close to a rock.
Which you should always be. Yeah.
And even if those fail, then I still have the evade to spend to avoid your attack anyways. And that, like you said, Chris, gets like super powerful when you're down to just 1-on-1.
Right, because you're not always at range 1 or 2. Yeah. Han has a boost and yep. spends a lot of time rolling 2 dice near rocks.
Yeah, and a lot of time behind rocks.
Yeah.
Right. But sort of looping back to Super Luke, people shouldn't dismiss it. I think that's where we can leave this.
I thought it was
people need to continue to test it. Luke and Chewie. Actually, no one talks about Chewbacca. Why?
I think because he's just okay.
I think because Han and Lando are so good.
Yeah.
Okay.
I think it's more that. I think Chewie is good. Like, that ability is still good. Like, not taking crits is great.
And he doesn't not have crew slots and all the room for upgrades and toys, so I don't know.
Yeah, like, if you're looking for, like, a budget version, I think Chewie is perfectly fine. Yeah, maybe,
like, Chewie with Lando and engine is probably pretty aggressively priced.
I mean, one of the things that I buy, my personal favorite things about 2.0 is the redesigned damage deck. For me, I think it's great because there's no longer, like, in most situations, there's not, like, a card that I'm desperate not to see in opposition to the rest of the cards. It feels like every card I flip, I'm like, that's not good.
Sure. They're all bad, yeah.
It's whereas fun, like, and they're all interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're all interesting.
Yeah, like, whereas in 1.0, there are, like, some truly horrible cards, and then some ones that are like, yes, I got that one instead.
Yeah.
So, the ability to not take crits is still great. I mean, so I think it just comes down to Han and Lando's abilities are just better.
And the initiative with the boost, we kind of covered that.
Yeah.
Yep.
Over and over. Okay. Yeah. Any other comments then on Super Luke? I'm planning to continue to test like Super Burner Luke with essentially 200 point Luke builds. Yeah. That might be a dead end, but that's kind of on my radar for the next couple of weeks.
Yeah, I mean, I think Super Burner Luke falls into kind of what we talked about the last episode with Kylo. As far as you kind of have your options now. You can run Super Maneuverable Luke, or you can run Luke with a Proton Torp, and he's still really good with that, too. It's kind of leaving you into your playstyle. Are you comfortable zipping him around the board? Then go Super Burner. If you prefer that like heavy alpha, then go Torps and, you know, whichever the ability is that lets him spend a force charge to shoot his torps off.
Right. Okay. So what about regen? Any opinions on that, Zach? Because they reduced both R2 and R2-D2.
Yeah. No, I you're the one that brought this up in our chat, too. Like, I fully agree. I think this is FFG pointing at something and saying all of you people weren't playing Rebels before because you are missing its best ability. Like, its archetype is the regen faction. Like, mm-hmm. that's what it was in 1.0, and they tried to, like, make that less easy. in 2.0, but it's still there. They're still the only ones really with it outside of Gonk.
Gonk.
Gonk. Gonk.
Gonk.
Yeah, I think they really kind of scared people away with that disarm token is the main thing about Region, that you're not seeing it because people are...
People wrongly assume that they're going to have a shot every turn.
Right.
Yeah.
So they think, why would I ever want to do that? Why would I ever want to voluntarily take a weapons disabled token when if you're regening, you are probably running away and you're not pointed at your opponent's ships. So, I mean, it's just take the token.
That's one of the things I do want to look at too, is like with the E-wings dropping in points, I kind of want to try like an E-wing regen, like even if it's just one of them, because I feel like they are like the one ship that could get in and then get out. Like, I mean, they might be able to take a little bit of damage, but then they might not be back in the fight for another three turns, so they can just shoot out and then regen a little bit and come back in. So it's something that's on my testing list.
I mean, Corrin's ability jives pretty well with that.
Exactly. Like, I mean, I'm going to test Corrin out and like just throw like an R2 Astromech on him, try to get that double tap off, and then zip him out for like a couple turns, just regen.
So, I feel like this actually raises an interesting topic, which hopefully isn't too controversial, but the way Rebels have historically been kitted out have been, outside of Corrin in 1.0, really focused on very direct play, right? Defensive mitigation, high HP, you know, kind of synergies to get good mods. Mm-hmm. And then being a good player at kind of setting up the joust that you want and then breaking off from that joust when it becomes necessary. With regen, with R2-D2 and R2, it sort of gets better when you are playing, you know, a ship that is disengaging, right? And that's part of your goal. So like Super Luke wants to disengage at certain times, and that disarm becomes natural. So I wonder if a big part of the reason that it has basically seen no play up to now is just that everyone plays Rebels in a very direct kind of one forward, shoot, K-turn, one forward, shoot, K-turn, no disengagement. And that's why, and without like the four ship, fair ship kind of damage spreading concept where the regen just sort of fits, mm-hmm. Maybe people just are never going to gravitate towards it because they're, what they want to do with Rebels is defensive joust.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, I think on the whole, I agree with that. And as the person here that probably plays the most Rebels, since Jonathan's not here, like I think I agree with you, Chris, that I feel like that's the way a lot of people are thinking. And I also agree that that's the wrong way to think. Like, when I play Rebels, it's a combination of wanting to do the continual jousting and K-turning, while also knowing, like, when you need to bug out.
Yeah.
Like, you need to, like, run the numbers in your head of, like, is that the best thing to do or not? Like, when I ran the 4B wings, like, it's lots of dangling a ship, letting it take a pounding, but not die, and then bugging it out and forcing them to shoot at your other three ships in your list. Mm. Like,
I hate when that happens. Why do you do that to people, Zach?
Because that's how you win with Rebels. Like, that's how you should be doing it. And, like, that plays really well into the regen side of things. Is, you know, run four ships, dangle one of them out there. If it doesn't die, bug off the next turn, let it regen while the other three keep fighting.
So one to raise at this point, which I think is helpful. Two, there's two things to raise. Biggs, and then R4 or R5 Astromech. Yeah. So there's one regen card that doesn't require the disarm, that does require an action. And it flips crits, right? Or damage cards?
It can discard a damage card. It flips a crit or it repairs a damage card.
Yeah.
So you can actually, I think you could theoretically ditch up to two of them, I suppose. Yeah.
Yeah. So they're both actions. There's no charge associated with flipping a ship crit down.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And then you spend a charge to repair one face down damage card. You've got two charges in the R5.
Right. So,
which I agree. Like, I think it's criminally underplayed. It's good.
As a point of reference, we saw that place really well at the Phoenix Hyperspace trial. That's kind of where I saw it. There was a list with R2-D2 and R5 Astromech, a Rebel list. I don't know the full thing, but it did pretty well. And I think I'm interested to see how that pairs with Biggs and Leia now, because you can sort of continue to do that Joust 4K. The K is no longer a red turn. Everything can regen. Like 4 T-70s, right? Just that's something for people to figure out.
I mean, I think this just ties into like what we were just talking about with Chewbacca, right? Like crits are bad in 2.0, and you have an astromech that's sitting around not being used that helps get rid of what, 2/3 of them are ship crits.
Yeah.
So helps you get rid of those and then discard 2 on top of it. It's solid.
Okay, can I throw something? Can I throw a ridiculous list at you guys and just tell me if I'm insane?
Hit us with your ridiculous list.
All right. It's Corrin with Predator, Proton Torpedoes, Afterburners, and R2-D2 for 92 points, which is the part that makes me feel insane. And then it's Biggs with R5 and Cassian in the U-Wing with Tactical Officer and Leia. And that's 195 points.
Wait, what was the other ship? It was Biggs, Corrin,
and Cassian in the
Cassian
with TAC Officer and Leia. Like, is that insane?
Well, so this is what I was getting at before. Insane. Like, that's the 200 point Luke that I am looking at, right?
Yeah. It's Luke instead of Corrin. Sure. Yeah.
And maybe Corrin can do similar things. Though I feel like Corrin takes a significant quantity of more think than Super Luke does, because Super Luke I can just, you know, not set my dial. Corrin, I feel like you have to play the entire game.
My only issue with your list, Marshall, is getting Corrin's ability off while trying to fly in formation. Those two things are a little bit antithetical.
Yeah, like Corrin kind of wants to like be that guy that gets in your face and
does. I think it's like you're good for the joust. And then that's my concern, is that you're good for the joust and the whole thing kind of just falls apart.
Yeah, like, it seems like you're going to have to more just hope that people end up in your bullseye arc in that particular setup, or trying to stay in formation, than really like setting up your bullseye arc. That'd be my only concern.
I don't know how. Did anyone here run a lot of Corrin in 1.0?
I ran like a fair amount of Corrin.
Because the only version I ever really did was with advanced sensors and the astromech that made your dial blue and PTL, because it made me feel like I was running an Imperial ship, and I always wanted an Imperial ship in my Rebel faction.
Go back to your dirty faction.
I know. I know. And then I would, right? After Casual Knights, I would go back to running a real ace. But Corrin was a really powerful ace, though, in that kind of version of the game.
Yeah, sure.
And just took a decent amount of setup and a lot of patience, like a lot of running away, a lot of kind of MOV preservation.
Well, I feel like he also had a lot more automatic damage to worry about.
Right.
I mean, yeah, it was a lot squishier, but you also didn't worry about the bullseye arc part of his ability now.
Well, that too.
Yeah. Like, yeah, it's a little
fire more control system was way better.
Yeah.
Oh, but you were doing advanced sensors, but
yeah, you got two
just in general. Models. Yeah.
So I guess the only reason I raised that kind of 1.0 Corrin is the concepts are still very much the same, though, about how you approach using that ship.
Mm-hmm.
It still kind of wants advanced sensors really badly. I just the dice modification is so messed up, because outside of, you know, FCS and taking the lock and not spending it, you end up in weird spots where the action bar for that ship still sort of, I feel like it lets you down. Everything else about it feels okay, and like you could probably just skill your way out of it, even the bullseye issue, right? It's still I5. But the linked actions are so frustrating. I raise that every time I think about the U-Wing, besides the fact that the U-Wing looks terrible.
Yeah, it is dumb looking.
No, it does not.
But it's a dumb
looking. My E-Wing doesn't look that bad, because I took the Karaz fighter's engines off the bottom and just glued it to the top, so it looks like a Battlestar ship. Okay. But it still looks bad.
The only thing that's stupid about it is the cannon that would melt the canopy if you ever fired it.
Well, yeah.
Well, okay, so I mean, I think we derailed a little bit off of Corrin because he's probably still bad even after dropping down a little bit of
points. Yeah, I guess unicorn. I mean, like I said,
it's something that I want to play around with, but it's one of those ships that does take a lot of patience to play with. Like even now, I think in second edition, it's still in that same boat of I have to play this waiting game and running around game. But so let's move on to some of the things with the rebels.
Yeah,
we Luke Gunner. How about that? 26 points now, as opposed to what was he 30 before?
32.
He was 30.
He was 30. Okay, so still, I mean, I think I'm still on the no. He should not be played, but unless you're like running him on like some like completely cheap turret.
But then, like, why are you doing that? Just take a better ship.
How much is a YT-2400, the Warden, with Luke Gunner?
Still too much.
112 points.
90. Oh, yeah, okay.
So 112. It's
112.
95 on a 1300 with him?
Ugh,
I gotta say this. I don't want that card to ever be relevant. I know there shouldn't be cards that don't see any play, but... I'd prefer to see Supernatural banned from hyperspace, and I'd prefer to see this banned from hyperspace.
I'm firmly in the camp of I don't think there should ever be a card that sees no play, but I agree with you here. Like, one of the best things that they did in 2.0, I know I've now said two best things in 2.0, but the better of the best things in 2.0 is how they fix turrets, and this kills that.
What good could ever come from this card other than putting a ceiling on a aces list that they can't predict, right? Like that's
there are other ways to fix that problem. Like they don't have to make Luke Gunner good to fix a broken aces list. Like
my mindset on Luke Gunner is it's a fantastic card when you're teaching someone how to play the game, and then as soon as they have any level of skill, it goes away and never comes back.
So then what's the deal then? Why are they reducing the cost on this? Like, why even play with fire? And do they want to see it on the table?
I think they want people to try it. I think they want... There's no other explanation. Like,
until they come up with a Luke crew card, they need Luke somewhere?
Well, take the other broken card, Super Luke, and just go have fun. training wheels for X-Wings, right? Like, you didn't set your dial, you're boosting and barrel rolling.
What about the Lothal Rebel? I mean,
that's what I'm saying.
So yeah. I mean, like you throw the attack shuttle on them, you move first.
So 96. No, it's 86 points.
And then you can throw a phantom on and whatever. And then you're getting that double tap, no matter. Well, at least a Luke shot off.
Yeah, I want to make something clear. Like I'm not worried about Luke Gunner being good. I just think it's like this is really difficult to balance this many cards in extended. And they went super hard on decreasing costs on the turrets and all of the cards the turrets want. So, and then a whole bunch of other stuff in the faction that you can put next to turrets.
Mm-hmm.
So this just, when I saw this went down 4 points, it was like, what don't I know? Right? Like, what is it that FFG is looking at and saying, this needs to see more play in the competitive scene or a casual night? Like, is it 4 points deeper for casual night?
I mean, I think that's it. Like, it's just, wasn't seeing play period anywhere in I don't know, again, very small sample size, but in the 5 months now that 2.0 has been out, I have seen Luke Gunner on the table precisely zero times anywhere in the store that I'm at, not even like against me. I have not seen anyone put it on the table.
I'm gonna do it on Thursday.
Thanks, Andrew. And
please,
like,
please do, and I'll kick your teeth in and it'll be great.
I don't want to complain too much about it because I think that was done enough when the card was first released, right? There's nothing more to say on it other than don't play with fire FFG, please.
Yeah.
Just don't decrease this again just because you want to see it get used once.
Yeah. Fine. Leave it at 26. That's fine. Okay.
Cool. All right. So let's Han in general. We want to hit base on that. Like, all the fun stuff you can do with Han.
Like Han Gunner?
No. Han in general.
Han the pilot.
So we got like Han, we got some lists here, like Han Nora, Han 2 U-Wings, which you threw on the table today. Yeah. Or do you think we talked enough about Han?
I mean, I think Han is coming out like one of the big winners at this point.
Yeah, they clearly want us to put Rebel YTs on the table.
Well, all right, so he got a decent, he got a 10-point point decrease, and if you look at all the other
good things for him,
right. So, but I mean, if you look at the other Falcons that came out, it was kind of like they were all severely under the 92 points that Han used to be, and it's kind of like, okay, they maybe saw the reaction of what he was, and his ability is good, but I mean, it's probably not that great. I mean, it has some restrictions. It's got a couple restrictions, sure, that you can't. You can reroll more than once with it, but you're probably not taking a target lock unless you have that perfect setup.
Right.
And like I said, the restrictions on it seem okay. So I think he's pretty good points adjuster right now. Like, he's not terrible. Like, he's not super oppressive, but at the same time, he's going to see the play.
Yeah, I think they got it right. And Fat Han is back.
You think Fat Han is back? I'm trying to run Han as late as possible.
No, you can load him up again. I mean, the great thing about it now is loaded up in post-adjustment terms really only equals out to like adding like 15 points-ish to it. Right. Lando dropped to 2. Leia, if you want to run her on him for whatever reason, dropped to 2. Sure, trick shot went up, but engine upgrade came down.
You don't have to take the title.
You don't have to take the title. Like,
yeah, not on Han. I think you want the title on Lando, but I don't think you need it on Han.
So let's talk about wingmates for a couple minutes here, though, because that's, I think, the thing most people are probably struggling with, right? Like, what to put on Han was sort of immediately, you know, most people sort of found that. But what to fly next to Han, I'm seeing a lot of, like, Wedge and Biggs plus Han, right? Wedge and a U-Wing with Leia and TAC officer and Han, you know, Nora or something else. We're probably going to see the 2x U-wings or the 2 B-wings next to it in extended.
Yep.
Go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to say the U-wings were good. I enjoyed that. But the coordinate thing, they can't keep up with Han. So the coordinate thing is going to help you on the joust and the turn after the joust, and then you just have 2 U-wings, which are like, fine. Okay. Like, they're pretty well priced for the math that they put on the table. And like Leia, it's a great carrier for Leia, but I don't know. It remains to be seen. I need to put in a couple more reps with it. I didn't hate it right off the bat.
I think it depends on like how you want to build out your Han. Like, there's some different subtle stylings to your Han.
Mm-hmm.
Like, do you want a more straight-up jouster tankier Han? Do you want a little bit of arc dodginess with the engine upgrade? Like, it really depends on that. And then you find the 2 wingmates that fit into that style of play.
So thinking about, like, Han and 2 Barrage Rocket K-Wings, right? There are going to be games where you can take that list and just joust your opponent because you win the joust. Yeah, and you can send all 3 ships to joust. No problem. Right, because Han will be at range next to a rock with rerolls, 2 dice. Probably has, you know, maybe an evade from Lando if he's lucky. Right, like, really sort of straightforward. There are going to be times when you can just joust, and you're probably going to beat some things. But Han, we talked about this a bunch of times, has to be arc dodging at some point because he takes damage so quickly.
Yeah.
So where do we think this lands in terms of hyperspace, though? Is what are the ideal wingmates? Is it Wedge and Biggs? Any willingness to take a shot at saying this is the Han build you should be running in hyperspace?
So how?
I mean, I can offer my opinion on what the Han build should be.
Do it.
But I'm not. But I don't know. I don't think I know the wingmates.
Sure. I mean, and being wrong is fine, right? Like, it's just. I think this is the problem most people are trying to solve.
So it's in my opinion, which is correct. It's Han with trick shot, Lando, R2-D2 crew, and engine upgrade, and that's 101 points, and that feels correct.
And then what's going next to that, though?
So that's the thing, is that I did the two U-Wings, two Partisan Renegades with Tactical Officer, and then one of them has Leia. And that comes out to 193. And I in the game that I'm talking about that I played with this, I had a rigged cargo chute on Han, which I did not use. So it was 197. But I think I'm going to drop rigged cargo chute because, I don't know, my idea was that it would be interesting to have the ability to coordinate the rigged cargo chute drop.
Oh, but he can still take... Wait, can Han take rigged?
Yeah, he sure can. He's got...
Oh, that's amazing. That's really good.
So I like it, and maybe it was just because I didn't have a good opportunity to use it that game. But you can take it or leave it, I think, if you have the points.
That's excellent, though, because Han wants to run away, and it just helps in every possible way. I like that a lot.
So yeah, so you have 95 to 100 points to goof around with. And I think I like one U-Wing. I don't know if I like two U-Wings.
I think I agree with you there, where if you're taking a like Han or Lando, a Partisan Renegade, and then figure out what you want to do for your X-Wing,
Be Wedge, I think. It feels like it should be Wedge.
Right, but it also at the same time, then you're taking Wedge, and I feel like you have to doubt yourself for a minute. He's still good. Because
Biggs can't keep up with Han, so Biggs is just protecting the U-Wing.
Right.
Which is okay. I guess that's fine.
I mean, I think what saves Wedge in this list is Han. Like, enough people are going to be going hard after your Han, because like we said, if you wait to try and get to Han when you only have one ship left, you're behind the eight ball already.
And I think Wedge enjoys the coordinate. Like, if you're not, if Han runs away and you start coordinating Wedge like that, that seems good.
I played against Lando, Wedge, and the U-Wing, and there were so many mods that it kind of felt dangerous. There's got to be a Y-Wing player somewhere, though, that's angry at us right now for not talking about Y-Wings, because they're in hyperspace, right?
Yeah, let's talk about it.
What are we talking about?
Let's
Yeah, I like Nora. I do like her. I think her ability's cool, but one of the things that I think that really hurts the U-Wings is when you load these things up, because you kind of want to put a torpedo on them because they want that, like...
The Y-Wings, you mean?
Yeah, yes. The Y-Wings. Like, it just, you have this way too expensive ship that it will probably blow up.
Yeah, by the time you get a Y-Wing good, just take a U-Wing.
I mean, you're loading it up with an astromech, probably a turret, probably a torpedo, maybe a gunner, and possibly a bomb, especially if you're running Nora. Like, it just feels like you're loading up way too many points for what they're worth.
So let me throw this at you. A gray squadron bomber with ion. So there's no dorsal turret in hyperspace, only ion, right?
Sure.
So a gray squadron bomber with ion cannon and vet turret gunners, 41 points. I-2, blue squadron escort is 41 points. Is that equal value? One shoots twice, one doesn't shoot twice.
But one has coordinate.
We're talking about Y-Wing,
and can,
right?
And can rotate 90 degrees.
So no, we're on the Y-Wing. So
the blue squadron, what's the blue squadron?
Escort, an X-Wing.
Oh, I thought you meant the Y-Wing.
Yeah, the U-Wing is 43.
U-Wing's 43.
Right?
I think if it's Y-Wing versus X-Wing, I want the Y-Wing. I want the option to ion something.
I think I still want the X-Wing. Like, yeah, you get to double tap with the Y-Wing, but then they get past you and you got to try and turn around. And yeah, they've got the K-turn, but I don't know. I don't think the double tap's going to happen as often as you want it to at range 1-2.
Yeah, I'm on that boat too.
Okay.
So then what do you do with these things? Use them as bombers?
I just don't use them.
Yeah, I mean, it's...
I don't even bother.
Like I
said... Unfortunately, I mean, it stinks, because it's one of the four ships that they have access to, but they're just not... I don't know. I just don't think... They fill a role that doesn't need filling in hyperspace.
Hear me out.
Okay.
105-point Nora, Lone Wolf, Ion Cannon, Proton Torps, R2-D2, Afterburners, Proton Bombs, and Luke Gunner. Okay. 105 points.
Sold.
Sure. I like it.
I hate you so much.
FFG wanted it playable. 4 points. Yeah. That's a terrible build. I'm just messing. So the only other Y-Wings that I think are worth noting, we don't have to talk about it, but Dutch is still good for tossing more target locks to things, and things are cheaper now, so
Dutch look is only at that. I would look at for that reason.
And then, I don't know how to pronounce this, but Evan Verlaine, if you want to add an extra green... What is it? Evan? Oh, I'm sorry. All right, yeah, Evan. So he gives what? He gives the extra defense die, right, to a thing at range one. You have to spend a focus to do it. It's really conditional.
Hands down, it's my favorite movie character.
It's really conditional, and having to blow your focus to do it just means that you are no longer a good ship, which you weren't a good ship to begin with. So maybe it's fitting.
And then you got Horton, who's still got the reroll if something's at range one, right?
Yeah, lame. It's old. I don't know why they changed his ability from the original one. I honestly don't. Of all the abilities they switched and decided to keep the same, I don't know why they changed his.
So,
Feels like these things aren't... I mean, just listening to this conversation, right? Like, I feel like this is probably similar to how a lot of other people are approaching hyperspace list building. The Y-Wing's probably the last thing they're looking at.
Yeah.
So that means there's probably something there. But
find out.
So it just doesn't feel right.
Pull it from you. I mean, Dutch, maybe, if you want to throw in... Like, if you want to do, like, a four-ship Rebel build, and you want one of those ships to be a lower PS X-Wing with a Proton Torp, Dutch helps you there to get that target lock later in the round at I-4 instead of I-2. But that doesn't seem like that much better.
Yeah.
And that's a lot of gimmick to pull that off.
All right, let's move on from Y-Wings. let's go into A-Wings. I personally am not a fan of A-Wings. Anything that has, two hull just pops for me, and... No thanks. So, does anyone have any experience on A-Wings?
Well, yes. They're the most fun ship in the Rebel faction.
Sure, yes. I think they're fun, but yeah.
The fun taxes that
B-Wings are fun.
No, B-Wings are not fun.
Yes, they are. They have hugging arms.
No.
Aww. But Andrew, on the A-Wings, right? I think they're like... They pop, right, to your point. So it feels bad because you're a Rebel player and, not you specifically, but if you're a Rebel player, you didn't bring Rebels to have your ship die in one shot. That's not why you're playing the game, right? Yeah. So most Rebel players just, the A-Wing is super fun. They want to find room for it in their list, but when a push comes to shove, if they're trying to be competitive with their list, historically it's just left to side. Now, that said, can you run Luke with 3 A-Wings? A mini swarm of A-Wings and do some damage? I think so. It's just a different play style than most people look for from Rebels. The two talents are extremely helpful. So being able to take Crackshot and Predator on Jake, that's not that bad. I mean, he's at I-4. He's not an ace, but he's good filler. And then you can look at Prockets, depending on how comfortable you are there. They spike damage pretty well for not a lot of points. I think it's, 37 on a Phoenix? So that's not terrible. And then Squad Leader, you can throw on one of the Phoenix A-Wings just to add some coordinate for whatever reason. But Rebels aren't starved for coordinate to begin with, so probably won't see much of that. For me, it really comes back to looking at very different builds than what we've talked about so far, where... Do you take, the YT and a bunch of A-Wings and that's useful? I don't know if it'll be hyper-competitive.
Yeah.
But there's probably a way to make that work. And the only thing I have experience with as far as A-Wings is I ran... They increased homing missiles, which kind of bothers me because I ran the 5 A-Wings or whatever, however many fit before.
Yeah.
It was 6, yeah. And that actually, It was pretty punchy, and it did some work. The thing that made it really sad was proton torps. So, the thing about A-Wings exploding and you just don't get to use them for as long as you want to, kind of thing. Proton torps went up, and the alpha strikes hopefully are less effective. So that overall, that makes me a little more comfortable taking an A-Wing than before. It's you know, they're not, it's same as the strikers, I guess, now in hyperspace, right? Where when you buy those points, you're more likely to not lose them now, which it's worth considering.
So that's about it for A-Wings. We can move on. the YT, so what is it? The YT-2400. We got the ruling that you cannot shoot twice out of the same arc with Han Gunner and Rourke.
Yeah, you have to do Han first.
Yep.
So, Han shoots first, finally.
Yeah, so they finally killed that. So the 2400 did get a points decrease a little bit, so maybe it's worth looking at. Play around with it. It's still shooting four dice with a five dice trick shot, like at range three, which is crazy. With a turret.
They took Lebo's crew slot away.
Yeah. Which, so you can't do the 3PO shenanigans anymore, which is fine.
Which no one was doing, so why? Like, why? I don't know. Maybe they just realized that it had the potential to be bad.
So that makes you think, is like Lebo just like sitting in the passenger seat and driving from the passenger seat that he doesn't get a crew?
No, he has just become one with the ship and eliminated all seats.
Oh, okay.
There's nowhere for a crew member to park their car.
So it's like L3 programming, but it's just like, you know, I'm just, no one else is allowed in here.
They must have found something that we'll never know about.
Yeah, that's right. True.
Like they must have found something that works and just
maybe there's a card. Maybe there's a card coming out. Maybe there's.
So take a look at the 2400s. They don't shy away from them because then, you know, next time we do see them, they might be this crazy powerhouse that was Dash Rourke. So take a look at them.
So glad that's dead. So glad.
Yeah. It was fun while it lasted, but it's good that it's gone.
Was it? Wait, what?
I thought it was cool that like it popped up and then was just like poof. And then I was like, all right, whatever. Like it shows that FFG kind of took care of it. Like whether it be that it was just perfect timing with the points increase, but it was nice to see that they just put the pillow over the head. Like,
I don't know why they waited. I mean, why leave that rule that way for as long as they did? I think it
just takes them 3 weeks to do anything. And it was, they were working on the points increase and it was the holidays and they just didn't bother.
Fair.
Yeah.
And there weren't any competitive events coming up after,
right?
After PAX Unplugged.
And so they've done basically everything else perfect, so I don't really care. But sure. It's random. It just makes the end of the test seem even weird. Even more weird.
All right, Zach, you got 5 minutes. Let's hear it about the B-Wings.
B-Wings!
You're going to give him 5 whole minutes?
People
are going to have to listen to him talk about B-Wings for 5 minutes?
He could probably just say B-Wings for like 5 minutes straight, and people are like, yeah.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Yeah.
I'm curious. I do want to hear your thoughts.
Everyone is super excited about B-Wings, even Marshall, even when he lies about it. All right, so B-Wings. Big thing you need to know is that they went down in price, which is great and silly because they were already super cheap. But now they're cheaper. Chris and I have talked about this a bunch off the podcast, but yeah. They're at a point now that if you have need filler, you just use B-Wings now. Always. Just always.
And for not me, generic ones even. That's the crazy thing. They're not named.
Named ones. So yeah, so Braylon dropped 3 points from 50 down to 47. 10 Numb dropped 4 points from 50 down to 46. Then the two generics dropped a point each to 43 for the Blade Squadron, 41 for the Blue Squadron. So a generic B-Wing, lowest generic B-Wing is now the same cost as the lowest generic X-Wing. B-Wings are better. But yeah, the named ones especially, like those points drops are huge because it frees up, like, one, just frees up points, two, it frees them up in a lot of lists to take like an EPT and still be under 50. I personally love running Debris Gambit on these things. It's just silly good with both of their stress abilities. Like, for me, Debris Gambit on 10 Numb is probably the best solo 49 points you can spend as a rebel right now. Like, I think Braylon is definitely the better out of the two, and finally, like, that shows in the fact that he only went down 3 instead of 4, like 10 Numb. Maybe people will finally figure out that if you're running both, to shoot at Braylon first. A lot of people made that mistake against me at PAX. And Braylon won the day. But yeah, with Debris Gambit on it, basically it turns your B-Wing into like even tankier since you have that guaranteed evade. It's a red evade action, so you get the stress, and then Ten Numb has his focus token. And it's just stupid good. I can't put into words how good it is. But as far as like lists now, the other big thing that helps them is Leia dropping down to 2 points. We talked a little bit about Leia in the U-Wing section. With Leia being at 2 points now, you basically have like Warhammer 40k feet turns. You just pop Leia's ability and now your B-Wings can turn around and do your focus. And for Braylon and Ten, do your focus barrel roll to get your stress again anyways. They're just so much better now. They're so much better. I am like itching to try out so many 2 B-Wings and stuff lists.
You can do so, 2 B-Wings and Han. 2 B-Wings and Han is 194 points if you put the good stuff on Han.
Yeah. That's one of the ones I'm really, really looking to play around with.
It feels like in both Extended and Hyperspace, there'll be a Rebel list that's just a bunch of low initiative stuff. It may not even have defense mitigation in there. It probably should, but it doesn't even necessarily need it. It's just going to be a ton of 3-dice ships and a stupid amount of HP.
Yeah.
And that's going to be useful, like just generically useful.
You will win on points.
Yeah.
That'll be good.
My secret weapon against Tripsilon, give me 4 B-Wings. I'll take that joust all damn day. It'll be great. It'll be great.
And that's actually, so there are a ton of Rebel builds that willingly joust Tripsilon. And if they have something that's semi-maneuverable later on, kind of are okay with it.
Yeah.
Right? And yeah, they can do that trade, no big deal.
Yeah, like I'll put Debris Gambit on both Braylon and Ten Numb, and then a couple of the higher PS generic B-Wings with whatever I can fit in for points. Probably not much. But like, those 4 ships jousting against Tripsilon, like, Tripsilon's going to need to be really lucky to kill a B-Wing that first pass.
Right.
Meanwhile, the B-Wings are going to put a big hurt onto one of those U-Wings and then kill it the next one and put a big hurt onto the next one the next round before it gets to fire back.
So 2 questions for you. Advanced sensors went up 2 points, so I can't take 4 advanced sensors B-Wings, right? That's 51 each.
Yep.
So that's just one thing to note. I don't know if that changes any of your builds at all. Probably not, because they went down, right?
Yeah. Overall, it works out roughly the same.
And then the cannon slot. I know your list at PAX didn't really use this, but talk about HLC and jamming beam, because you can take both, right?
You can.
Do they have two cannons?
They do. It is wonderful. Ooh, okay. We've talked about this before. I think jamming beam largely in 99% of cases is going to be useless. But for that 1%, you might as well just always put jamming beam on them since it's 0 points.
It's so free.
It's so free.
It's the most free.
Then what about HLC though, right? There's more 1 agility ships theoretically that are going to be out there. A 45 point blue squadron with HLC, is that a dumb idea?
It's not dumb. It's going to be like exceptionally situational. It's going to be up to your opponent to be stupid and fly into your bullseye. Because you're probably not going to be able to do too much to catch them. I mean, they do have the barrel roll, and you'll probably, the focus barrel roll, I still argue, is the best linked action in the game on a B-Wing.
So I guess the decision point is, if you're taking HLC, would you rather just have a 4-point shield upgrade?
Probably just the shield upgrade for me. I mean, because part of what, at least, I don't know, it's very situational. It very depends on like what the rest of your list is. If I'm running 4 B-Wings, then I would prefer to have the shield upgrade, because one of the tricks of 4 B-Wings is that you're putting in a lot of damage, including already without the HLC, including crits. Like, my 2 generics at PAX pumped in a lot of critical damage onto things. Mm-hmm. And that's super useful.
Right.
And HLC's taking that away from you. And like with B-Wings, all you're ever going to do is focus. So you're only ever going to do hits with your HLC.
so might as well just go with the hit points.
Yep, you might as well just lean into the tankiness. Like, that's where, like, putting Debris Gambit on the named ones come in, too. Like, it just leans into their tankiness if you give them that guaranteed evade on their single green die once around. Like, it just stretches out how tanky they already are. But yeah, I think B-Wings are some of the big winners. B-Wings and Han are the two big winners for me in this point adjustment. And now you can put both of them together, and it's great.
Cool. There, your 5 minutes is up. We went over.
Woohoo! I went over 5 minutes for B-Wings. Take that, Marshall.
Alright, so to talk, just to recap all of these points adjustments, let's go around the horn real quick. Like, who do you think the real winners were in hyperspace and extended? Chris, why don't you take it off?
Alright, so Rebels, obviously. It had the largest net change. But I look at extended and not that much changed. Or, like, I look at extended and I feel like Empire still has plenty of options and Scum still has plenty of options. So I think they probably did enough to get Rebels, you know, back into the extended meta. Mm-hmm. I don't think that it's the turrets that will do that. I think it's the adjustments to, you know, essentially some of their other ships and cards. Because I'm not entirely sure that what they did for the Rebel turrets is going to be enough to deal with other efficient lists. So it absolutely will be, like, relevant, but I'm not convinced that any of the Rebel turrets are in the kind of top tier of the meta yet. I'm going to need to see that before I believe it.
And this is extended or hyperspace, you're saying?
So for extended.
Okay.
Specific to extended, right? I'm not sure if Rebel turrets are now, you know, 100% meta, you know, dominant. Like, I don't, it's a real significant open question for me because they didn't suppress a bunch of things that scare them, which is primarily a lot of damage up front, right? Mm. The proton torps help a lot going up in cost. But I think that it's still going to be a challenge for people to keep them alive. And it'll go as far as the point costs allow the rest of the list to take it. For other factions within, you know, extended, it all comes down to proton torps for me, because there were so many things that you just didn't take out of fear of double proton shots. And that's no longer really a concern. So it's a real, that's like the generics. I think we talked about this last week, where I was kind of complaining about, hey, they didn't reduce the cost on my strikers. Generics might have been one of the other major winners from this whole point adjustment, just faction irrelevant because of the reduction in the alpha strike. So those are kind of my wrap up thoughts on it.
Uh-oh.
Sorry.
Zach, who do you think? Right. Do you want to touch base on that?
Yeah, I'm going to go with the controversial pick. And I think the big winner here is list diversity in general. Like, I think they just did a very good job of, like, correctly costing a lot of the under-costed ships from the first set of points that we had, and really opening up, like, list building and creative list building to a lot of other things now. Like, the Scum faction is no longer just Boba. Boba's still good. He's still relevant. But you don't feel like a loser if you don't include him anymore. Like, so for me, that's my big winner out of all this, is just list building in general is back to being a lot more fun. It's a lot more diverse. It's a lot more open. There's a lot more things that you can do now. And I think that is overall fantastic for the game.
Sure. Marshall, what about you?
Yeah, I think faction wise, it's definitely Rebels. Rebels are the faction that I was, as an adhesive connoisseur, they were the faction I was most excited for when 2.0 was announced, because I just thought that the way that they adjusted turrets and what they were doing with X-Wings, I was totally on board for all that stuff. And then I was super disappointed when they did not, kind of emerge for the first few months of 2.0. So yeah, I think I don't have anything much more than that to say aside from what Chris said. Like, it seems like they looked at things and adjusted them correctly. And I am excited to see where they kind of land, because I'm sick of Scum. And I'm sick of Scum being on top.
I am going to pump all my energy into every Scum list I can do now.
Yeah, Chris kind of ruined the segment. I just want to throw that out there. So we had to take controversial takes.
I'm sorry, Zach.
You took all the thunder, Chris.
I mean, I think so. So I'll throw out a weird hot take, which I think is that Empire, by virtue of really not getting adjusted or like getting adjusted strangely, I think I'm excited to see what emerges from Empire. So that's maybe bad for Empire players, because now they have to kind of go back to the drawing board and rediscover their faction. But I think there are some things that are going to be holdovers for Empire that are still good. But I think there are going to be some new things that pop up, except for like maybe the Decimator. Like the Decimator was a thing that was aggressively changed and is probably still bad. But otherwise, I think they have a lot of interesting stuff to figure out, and I'm excited to see what people do with that.
They still seem really, you know, fine for extended, right?
Right.
I don't feel bad about Empire for extended at all. It's hyperspace that I really need to see play out, like we talked about last episode. Which I'm warming up to them though. The more I list build, because of what I mentioned related to Proton Torps, like the impact of that. It's harder to feel when you're looking at Yasby, right? Like it's not immediately apparent how much that helps. We'll see how that plays out.
All right. Does anybody have any shout outs they want to touch base?
I think we covered.
You got one?
Yeah. So I just want to give a shout out to Mike Taglioni for running a really good Armada regional yesterday. So we had one of the Armada regionals at Top Deck Games. Nice. In Haddon Township, New Jersey. 30 players came out. Or not 30, 20, 20 players came out. 20 players.
That still seems like a lot.
It's better than IA. Came out.
Yeah, way better than IA. And it actually had a bye, so it's not a dead game.
Wait, but, so speaking of regional, what did you place, Zach?
I placed last, because I dropped after the first round.
You pulled a Marshall.
Yeah, I pulled a Marshall because I don't enjoy playing Armada competitively.
Aww.
But I wanted to go out of support for Mike, and he ran a really great event. And actually, with me dropping, we went from 21 players down to 20, so no one had the bye.
Oh, that's nice.
After I dropped. But great event. Went really smoothly. Good group of guys. A lot of fun. I ended up hanging out all day, even after I dropped. But yeah, so that was good. Good for the local scene.
Yeah. All right. Anybody else got a shout out?
There's a tournament at Showcase on the 9th.
So the Saturday coming up?
This Saturday. It's a hyperspace tournament. I don't know if any of us are going to be there. But
I heard everyone that's going is bringing Tripsilon. So yeah. Just to advertise it.
So buyer beware. I think it starts at 11. And Lou is going to be running that one. So if you're around, definitely check that out.
All right. Anything else before we close out?
It starts at 10.
10? Jesus.
It's probably doors at 10, dials at 11. So, yeah, sign up begins at 10. So get there before 11, play some X-Wings.
Pew, pew. All right. I think that does it for this week's episode. We'll be back next week with some in-depth conversation about the U-Wings and possibly the Reapers. We'll take a look to see how much news drops this week. We still got some more articles that we were writing on the Republic, aren't we?
Yeah. Well, we got a unfortunately untranslated Polish Republic article that had some interesting stuff in it, but I don't think we can talk about it competently without getting like all the English text. Sure.
So,
because some of the translations were pretty rough.
You don't know. Maybe I speak Polish.
Do you speak Polish, Zach?
You don't know. Maybe I do.
Well, anyway,
I'm gonna take that as a no.
We just got the points drops, and I think it's gonna be interesting to see how we might need a different. Like as soon as these two new factions come out, maybe we're gonna be screaming for another points adjustment that quickly. So it'll be interesting to see that. But I think that does it for this week. So thank you for listening, and have a good night.
B-Wings. Yeah.
Jesus.